Okay, good morning. We're holding in the Be'er HaGoyla, section 4, subsection 13. And the Gemara we're learning today was recently made popular in a very nice song. The Gemara at the end of, at the very, very end of Maseches Tainus. The last Gemara in Maseches Tainus. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'aseis Machol HaTzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future will make a dance for the righteous. Hu Yeshev Beinayim Began Eden. And he will be sitting in their midst in Gan Eden. And each and every one will point with his finger, shenemar, as it says, va'amar b'yom ahu, hinei Elokeinu zeh, he will say on that day, behold, that one, there he is my God, kivinu lo v'yoshienu, we have yearned for him, we have hoped for him, and he has saved us, zeh Hashem kivinu lo, this is Hashem for whom we have hoped, magilu v'nismu chavishu asay, we can rejoice and be happy in his salvation. That's the Gemara. So the Tzadikim will be dancing around in Gan Eden. Hashem's going to be sitting in the middle, right, like the Chusin, and everybody's going to be pointing and saying, "This is Hashem, to whom we have hoped." Magila v'nismach habishuasi. So what's the problem? So the problem is people have with this Gemara is, you know, first of all, the whole picture of people dancing around in a circle, but more than that, the yisham narus ubachrus shiemochal tzadikim. You know, this idea of dancing around, you know, it seems a little it's like something that the young people do, right? The old people, they stand around in the back in the wedding and they watch, right? The young people don't have a care in the world. You know, they're out there, they're dancing, they're whooping it up. Right, everybody else, you know, sort of like, you know, you make one shuffle cycle and then you go back, right? What's the portrayal here of this mochel latadikim, of this dance for the righteous in the Olam Haba? That's the issue which the Maharal wants to come to explain. And he's going to explain, you know, the different aspects that exist over here in the Gemara, with, as usual, different layers, and some very, again, as usual, I think very, very poignant and sharp ideas. Says the Maharal that the mochel, the dance, is an expression of simcha. It's an expression of joy. An expression of very, very, very strong joy. And one of the things which we find that Chazal instruct us about is something that we say every Shabbos when we bench, in the Tillim, Shir HaMaleis, we speak about B'shuv Hashem, Eshiv Asiyan, Hayinu Kechomim, when Hashem will return the captives of Tzion, those who are going to be restored to Tzion, Hayinu Kechalmim, we see ourselves as having been dreamers. Oz Yimole Schaik Pinu Ulshainenu Rina. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter and our tongues with joy. So the Gemara says, famously, as is of course implied by the Pasuk, that then our mouths will be filled with joy. Oz Yimole Schaik Pinu. But Osir La'adam, a person is not permitted to fill his mouth with laughter in this world. It's only then. In fact, I'd like to point out that the custom, although much less observed custom, is that during the week when one says Birchas HaMazon, one begins with Al Nahares Bavel. Instead of saying Shir HaMalos, you say Al Nahares Bavel. Shom Yashavnu Gam Bochinu B'Zachreinu Asiyin. We speak of the Jewish people on the way out into captivity, and we say there, Eich Nashir Ashir Hashem Al Admas Nechar. How can we sing? Right, they were there. We were crying. How can we sing the songs of Hashem on a foreign land? Right? Their captor said, you know, we heard you people, you Levian, you know how to make beautiful songs, beautiful music, sing for us. And the Gemara, the Chazal tell us so much so that they went and they disfigured their hands, they destroyed their thumbs, they bit their thumbs to make themselves unable to play their instruments. Because they said, we can't have the song of Hashem any other place. Eich nashir ashir Hashem al adnas necha. That's during the week. Shabbos, which is to some degree coming back home, Shabbos, which is this notion there of arrival, so then we say, Shir HaMaleis, we sing, we're back, B'shuv HaShem Eshiv HaSirayim, then, Oz Yimaleis Chayk Pinu U'Sheinenu Rina. So we're only allowed to fill our mouths with Chayk in that time, but not anything more. So the idea is that there's a difference. We say a person's not allowed to have any happiness in this world. No, the idea is yimale adam schaik piv, to fill his mouth with joy. And the Maral says the following yisai, the following principle, which is a very, very, very logical and understood principle. And the principle is that simcha, in its expression, simcha bepoel, simcha as expressed in action, is a whole different realm and a whole different level of simcha than simcha belev, simcha in the heart, which is simcha bekayach, which is simcha to some degree in potential. And he explains this specifically by saying as follows, that the, I'll read to you a few words first what he says. Davar zeh nira l'chush, ki ha-mechol u'psuf, zeh mipnei, ki ha-mechol u'simcha bepoel, ve'inu kamo ha-simcha belev she'eino bepoel. It's not like simcha in the heart, which is not in action. Rak ha-simcha b'leiv. It's only in the heart, and it's going to be considered b'koach. And he says like this. He goes on to write. I'm skipping some of the parts which we'll touch upon. I don't want to mention them now. They could be a little confusing because they sound a little controversial. But he says, v'chol machshava ma'akevis ha-simcha sholoteitze l'poa l'gamrei. Any thought which a person has will be able to stop, suspend the simcha, that it won't be most fully expressed. Ki ha-machshava misnaged eilav ha-simcha. Machshava thought goes against simcha, goes against joy. Ulfikach ba-anoshim ha-simcha u-belev, ne-shiyem lem yesh lem misnaged ma'akev ha-simcha lo-tzeis l'payel. That's why people, men, their simcha remains in their heart, because their machshava, their thought, stops them from being able to express it fully. What's the idea here? What is he saying? So let me give you a mushel in order to be able to experience this. You know, you have a wedding, a contemporary American Jewish wedding. So a wedding is a climactic moment in a certain sense. It's really, of course, in the realest sense, it's really just a preparation of things to come. But it's a climactic moment. One is preparing for the wedding, preparing for marriage, preparing the whole thing, and for the event itself for months and months and months and months. And then what happens? You have this thing Hashem created, right? The blessing and the curse, the tovara, called a photographer. Right? You have a photographer. And what's the photographer there for? Photographer there is to capture these moments of joy forever. But at the same time, what does the photographer do in order to capture these moments of joy forever? He disrupts the joy of the moment. In other words, you're so busy trying to remember what the simcha is like that you don't actually experience what the simcha is like. You know, sometimes, go on a trip, right? So, you know, the kids, they got a camera, you know, so the camera, you know, doing it. Don't take a picture yet, so that you'll remember it. First, look at it, enjoy it, soak it up, as it is. Then, later, maybe you'll take a picture. Sometimes, you know, by the way, that's also an experience. Sometimes I have this feeling, I don't have it with you guys, so please don't do it. But sometimes, you have this feeling, you teach, and people, you know, especially when you're teaching, you know, young ladies, right? They take out their notebooks, and from the moment you start talking, they're scribbling, 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 scribbling. And you feel like you're not talking to them. They're not listening to you right now. They're hearing the words you're saying, but they're not having a chance to learn it and to experience and to enjoy the simcha of the learning. The notes are there so that whatever you experienced in learning then, you'll be able to get in the future. But if you're used to just being sort of a digest, you know, I want to give you information, so then here, I have to make sure I don't miss all the information. I miss all the information. But the Torah hamesamachas, that the Torah should be fulfilling, that it should be a joyous experience, in a certain sense, you got to stop. You don't write the note for a minute, right? You want to see it, you want to hear it, you want to experience it, and then, you know, you want to make the note afterwards so that you'll remember it in the future. Machshava, the thoughts and the planning, disturb the moment. They get away, they disturb the moment, they disturb the moment from what the person is really, really actually experiencing. Simcha bepoal, says the Maharal. There's such a thing of this joy of completeness. And I think that this is very related to this example, this illustration which I gave you of Ozimoleh Schaikpinu. That's really, again, the classic example of it, what the Pasuk says. When Hashem brings back the captives of Zion, then our mouths will be filled with joy. Now, whatever joy we have is much more limited. It's much less going to be able to be expressed. When do we express this? We express this on Shabbos. Shabbos, in a certain sense, is that idea of the poel and not the koach. The idea is, we have 6 days of work. In all the 6 days of work, what we're doing is, we're leading towards something. We're working in order to be able to, at some point, temporarily retire, experience, be there. You know, Shabbos, right, what does it mean, Shabbos? It means to rest, or it means to stop, to stand, to be in a specific place. We say, oh, in this world, a person is not supposed to be Yoshev, Vayeshev, Yaakov, Eretz Megurei Aviv. Tzadikim want, whatever it's Vayeshev, it's a Lashon Tzar, because you're not supposed to be stopping. You're always supposed to be working towards something. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. Because at least in the physical realms of the world, we are not at all supposed to be working towards anything. Misha Torach Be'er Shabbos, whatever work was done before, that's what we're able to enjoy on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, we're not supposed to be working. We're not even supposed to be thinking, to whatever degree possible. In halacha, you're not allowed to be speaking, but you are allowed to be thinking. But it's written in many, many places that ideally it's even not mechashev, the person's even not even considering and thinking what's going to be in the future, because that's the idea. Shabbos is arrival. That's the peace of Shabbos, and that's the joy of Shabbos, and that's b'shuv Hashem eshivas Tzion. All the time you're working towards something, there's never actually a moment of achievement. Rabbi Ramchal writes about this towards the beginning of the Derech Hashem. Hashem had to create two worlds. He had to create a world of effort and a world of reward. Because when those two get mixed up together, when effort is mixed up with reward, then reward isn't really reward. Reward has to be where you've reached it at a stage where you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's secure, and you're not thinking for the future. That is the idea of Simcha B'Po'el. Says the Maharal, did you know why it is that you'll see the more carefree people of the world dancing around? And when you see people who are more serious, more thoughtful people in this world, they don't seem to be in the middle of the circle, they don't seem to be dancing around like that, or, you know, whatever, you know, so the big great rabbi is going to go into the middle of the circle, and he's going to dance with the chassan, you know, because the chassan's happy, and the chassan's carefree, and the chassan's excited, the chassan's dancing, so he wants to be in the sun, he'll do him a favor, real joy. And then, as soon as he gets out of the circle, you know, he goes back, and, you know, to the world sitting on his shoulders, and so on and so forth. So he says, you know why? Because, indeed, they're faryacht with thoughts, with ideas, with the work, with the toil that involves a person who's trying to move forward. Because, indeed, it's for the tzaddikim, for the righteous, for people who view this world as a world of work, as a world of toil, the time of reward, the time to enjoy, the time to dance of simcha b'poel is when there's no more work to be done. is when the bekach is when the thoughts aren't there, and that's the idea. Now, I mentioned before that he said something which was controversial, right? The Maral here says that if you look in the indication of Psukim, he says, "Hamachol miyuchad lebesulais befrat." Machol dance is associated specifically with young women. Right? The pasuk in Yirmiyahu, perhaps the most famous occurrence of the machol as tismach besula b'machol. Then the besula, then the young woman will rejoice in her machol, in her dance. And he says, "V'daras damas en yira lechush ki amachol hulu besula." He says, "You know it, right? You'll see, young women like to dance, right? That's the way it is." He says, "Why is that?" So he says, okay, it's censored, right? he says, because young women are more carefree. Okay, that was even the nicer way to say it. He says, because einam balis machshava. So they're not stewing in thought. They're not thinking all the time. So therefore, they have this ability to say, okay, we're here. Geschmack. We can enjoy. We have the bepoel, not the bekayach. Rabbi Hartman brings a great sushtel, a great illustration of this from the writing himself of the Maharal. The Maharal says that a person who learns Torah, right, the pasuk says certainly hakayra pasuk shel shira shirim va'isa isek min zemer. Mevi ra lo olam. The Gemara says a person who reads a pasuk of Shir Hashirim, Song of Songs, and makes it like just a song, like a tune. So he brings bad to the world, and the Torah wears sackcloth and says to the Rabbanu Shalom, you know, my children have made me like a kinnor shemenagdim by leitzim, like a harp that these jokers play, you know, just play with. So he says, what's the idea? So he says the idea is like this, because, and you know, there are many contradictory sources about the relationship between song and learning. This is one of the sources which is negative. There's a lot to talk about there. But I just want to bring to you what he's bringing here, this specific illustration. I think it's very, very valuable. So he says that the idea is like this, because the Torah, the main Mishkan HaTorah, is in the mind. Person has to think and have his thoughts changed, developed, refined by Torah. That's the idea. The main Mishkan HaTorah, the main place for Torah, the main place for accomplishment of Torah, is in our machshavos, is in our thoughts, in how it forms and changes the way we think and the way we consider things. Says the Maharal, there's a very simple rule. Right? Today, right, Gerald Ford is lying in state, and everybody knows that one of the most famous statements of Gerald Ford was that he couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time, right? Right? Wasn't that his? Right? So that was one of the things which he said. No. So the Maharal says, you know, when a person's speaking, they can't think. If you think before, of course, there's a certain level of thought and brain function which is happening there as you're speaking, but the main thing is that when the mouth opens, right, so then the brain reduces a great degree. The thought reduces a great degree. You speak, ideally, of course, after you think. The thought of Torah that we're talking about is where the person is thinking and considering. And if they make the Torah into zmirais, and they're just bringing it out, not even in serious speech, but in song, so then that indicates, says the Maharal, that they're not thinking as much. They're not thinking as much. Because deep thoughts, again, require a person who's quiet. I'm trying to think. Right? Right? You're talking to me. I can't think about it anymore. You're distracting me. Right? You have a child. You know, a child who's talkative. Right? And you're sitting, you're trying to get your work done. Every 2 minutes, they're saying, "Oh, you know, I was wondering, why is the world round? You know, or whatever. So, you know, when we have the next vacation, could we do this?" Right? So, you can't talk to them. Why can't you talk to them? Because if you're really trying to think something through, to talk, it's a stira, it's a contradiction. Says the Maharal, that men have a tendency to be more pensive and less talkative. Right? Men are from Mars, right? Just read it. It's Mefurish. Right? Men tend to be more talkative, more pensive, and women more talkative. When the Gemara said it, until John Gray came out with the book, we were all considered very big, sexists and misogynists or whatever you call it, right? Why? Because the Gemara said that Hashem brought down 10 measures of conversation to the world. 9 measures were taken by the men during davening. I'm sorry, excuse me. 9 measures were taken by the women, and 1 measure was taken by the men. Now, I'm only joking partially, because the truth is that women, generally speaking, can also do better at davening than men. That's why they talk less in shul, a lot less than the men talk in shul, because part of davening is sicha, vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada. And women have an easier time talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than men, right? Men will have a much harder time because it's hard to get our thoughts focused in on it, and without our hearts focused in on it, to just say it is less meaningful. But back to the Gemara itself, women, the koach hadibur, their communication, is much more, less pensive. Says, so, you know, that's very, very much this idea. The besula, the machshavah, word doesn't contradict simcha b'poel. It's those thoughts which are always transporting you to another place, right? So the person at the wedding, how many times, right, it's almost like sometimes like a personal mission for me. I'm at a simcha and I see the bal simcha and they're all over the place, right? They're worrying, they're making sure the chuppah's got to happen on time and this, and where's the photographer and where's the mothers to break the plate and and everything else. And come on, do me a favor. Let me take, what do you need done? Let me take care of it. This is the simcha, this is your wedding, this is your daughter's wedding, your son's wedding. Enjoy it, live it, experience it, forget about the pictures. Forget about family, there'll be pictures. But then you'll have something to remember. Instead of this just being an event, which is not Basher Rusham, which is lived for the future. Says the Maharal, in the Olam Haba, when the work is over, we have the Simcha B'Poel. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Tzadikim the chance to dance genuinely, not a token dance with the Chassan, but to dance genuinely. They can feel the joy of fulfillment, of being there, of Simcha B'Poel instead of B'Kayach. And that's a very, very big part of the Olam Haba. That's part one of the Maharal's understanding. Yes?
So what does it say about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva?
Very good. What does it say about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Beis HaMikdash? What they made on Sukkot, where it describes that they would get the Hasidim and the Anshei Maisa, the pious people, the most righteous people, and they would be the ones who would be the ones to be dancing in the middle. It would seem not the grating ones, because what is Sukkot? Sukkot is Chag HaOsif. Sukkot is the festival of the ingathering of the crops. In a sense, right, when you have the ingathering of the crops, that means it's not the springtime, it's not the summertime, where in the springtime you're worrying about the planting and the developing, and in the summertime, even as you harvested it, you still have to make sure it has to be processed, it has to be laid out. Sukkot is you bring it home. You bring it home. Now, you will say to me, yeah, it's true, but isn't the Simchas Beis HaShoeva about the rains for the coming year? Right? Isn't that about, in a certain sense, the anticipation of that which is there, which is yet to come? Yes, it's true. It's called Tkufas Hashana. It's the end of one year, and it's the beginning of another year. It's the end of one cycle, and to some degree, it's the beginning of the other year. But the Simcha of Sukkot, clearly, is this idea, it's the Simcha of Asif. The reason why Sukkot is called, more than any other yontif, Zman Simchasenu, the time of our joy, it's because Hazayrim Bedima, people who plant with tears, Berina Yiktsayru, they harvest with joy. You plant with tears because you have all this worry and wonder, I'm doing this, but I don't know what's going to come of it, I don't know what's going to come of it. When it finally comes, ah, Gishmak. And Chazal tell us, not Chazal, but many say, why do we read Kehelas on Sukkot? right? Kehelis is so morbid, right? Why do we read Kehelis on Sukkot? Because Parket, you know, a person's so full, because all the silos and the storehouses are full, accomplishment, so we want to give them a little bit of that zorg, we want to give them a little bit of that worry. But it would seem that that's the basic idea of the simcha, that's the lulav and the esrog, right? These are samples of the kotzir, of what we have, and that's the expression of the simcha. With the mayim, you know, yesh al maladaber. I'm not going to dwell on it much more, but that's the idea. So Sukkot is, in a certain sense, supposed to be, to some degree, the sense of arrival. That's why on Sukkot, what do? We sit in the sukkah, right? We sit in the sukkah to remember life in the midbar. Life in the midbar, there was no torah. There was no work. I mean, there was token work, as asher taifu eifu, asher tevasu basheilu, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of everything. It was they had no efforts of physicality. It was only, you know, just sitting there in the enemy Zivashchina. They were being sustained by the Zivashchina. Okay, but there's more to talk about there. But the point is certainly an important point. Okay, so that's level one of the morale. Good? I mean, it's very, very real. We know that our simcha, right? Was with someone, a friend, and you know, celebrating a simcha for some time ago, celebrating a simcha of the birth of a grandchild, very, very joyous occasion, you know, and at the same time, right, the person had another child who was married that was as yet not successful to have a child, right, or a simcha of a wedding, and there's another child who wants very much to get married and hasn't gotten married yet. So, you know, the simcha, you still have the machshava, you still have the thought. You know, oive, you know, I still have this to worry about, I still have that to worry about. It gets in the way, and it puts it back. So the mochel atadikim lasid lovay is simcha b'payil, finally the opportunity of simcha b'payil. So that's one aspect. The second aspect, related to this, in some sense, to the idea of the joy of the simcha, and as well, to some degree, this distinction between Bekoyach and Bepoyel, but in some degree taken in a different direction. Maral says as follows, and this is also a big yesod, a big principle that comes up many, many times in the writings of the Maral and of the Balei HaMachshava. We may, I think, have touched upon it before. Now, the dance is an expression of buoyancy and vibrancy that's extremely, extremely significant. Now, there's one time when we dance, in a certain sense, during davening. When's that? Besides Bayi V'Sholem, you know, besides Min Hagenu, Friday night. But the time that in Shulchan Aruch we say that a person should to some degree dance is during Kedusha. When you say Kedusha, the third bracha, not the third bracha, but in the third bracha, the Kedusha that we say in the repetition of the Amida. So the in Simon Kof Chof Hei, Siv Beis, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says a person should keep their feet together during the Kedusha. Right? Again, part of this idea, when we say Kedusha, we're saying we want to do here like they do in heaven, right? We want to sanctify your name on earth like they do in heaven. The Nusach, the text of the Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 is what the Malachim say, what the angels say. And the angels, Ragleim Regel Yeshar, stand with a single straight foot. Right, so we do that during the Shemoneh Esrei for whatever reason. We do it specifically during the Kedusha especially. And says the Rambam, Hagav, Yesh Lisa Heinaim Lamorim B'Shar Shayim Kedusha. You're supposed to look up, raise your eyes to the heavens when you say Kedusha. V'chein Menanin Gufan V'naisin Aisayim Min Ha'aretz. You're also supposed to shake your body, lifting yourself up from the ground. That is the way the person's supposed to do. And so said, brings the Mishnah Berurah because of the Medrash Tanchuma, which says, "V'shtayim ya'ayfeif," right? The angels, so to speak, have wings. So a person is supposed to some degree, act as if they have wings. You know, I mean, it's an attempted takeoff. It's going to be an aborted takeoff, right? But we're going to do the best we can at the time when we say Kedusha. Interestingly, the Magen Avraham says, no, just lifting yourself up, not like the people that delgim the kaifzim, that really skip and jump, but el yirava and shari achroinim, yishvas haminig, uminig Yisrael tairahu. No, You know, it should be springing, you know, it should be lebedic. It should be the person is jumping up to some degree. What's the idea? Like the malach. Kadosh, kedusha, is the idea of transcending physicality. And Chazal have a very, the Bali Machshava have a very, very simple perspective. That the thing which weighs us down, which makes us slow and sluggish, is our physicality. The more, quote unquote, spirited we are, the more lively we are. Chaimer drags us down. Material physicality drags us down. And this is a core and understood principle. Right? When you're sleepy, right? So you're not thinking, you're not awake, you're not spirited. When you get up in the morning, the longer it takes for you to become spirited, the more you lie there like a bump on a log, the more you just sit there in the bed. And to some degree, the way we have the first halach in the Shulchan Aruch, Yiskaber Kari Lamay Babaker, a person should roar like a lion to get up in the morning, that there's an idea of getting up with vigor. In Yetz Hashem, we should be zeicha to do such a thing. Right? But that a person should get up with vigor, the idea is because of this notion that you know why you're schlepping? Because of that physical, material body. That's what schleps. The spirit soars. Now the spirit is married to this blob, to this physical thing, and the question is, who is wearing the pants in the family? Who is the one who's really, really dominating over here? So the more zhlubby we are, the more physical we are, the more we become couch potatoes of sorts, these material things. Now, yeah, sure, you could have some people who are extremely spirited. They drive around in cars that go from 0 to 120 in 2 seconds, right? They're running around. There's such a thing as a spirited pursuit of materialism. But fundamentally, the view of the Chaimer is that it's a blob. And like we picture, as the Pasuk seems to describe, that the material, physical body of the person was just lying there like a golem, like a statue, right? Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into the neshama is what brings vibrancy, what brings life. As Rav Huttner writes in the beginning of the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, very, very beautiful maimer that's worth studying, especially I recommend you to look at it when you get closer to Pesach. But he says that's the idea of Pesach, of chipazayim. Pesach was characterized by rush, and in a sense it was hurry up and wait, right? Because they were supposed to eat at the chipazon before midnight, but they didn't even leave till the morning. Matzah has to be made the chipazon. Matzah is frantic, right? You're rushing. You can't let the dough sit there for a minute, because he says that's the whole idea. Mitzrayim is Besar chamorim besaram vizir masusim zir masam. They're described as being like the chamor, like the donkey, right? Like the donkey. The donkey is associated with it. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Mitzrayim, right? Riding on the donkey, right? The idea was that chomer, material, physicality, is just a blob. It's a blob. And ruchnius, the spirit, is supposed to get it to move, to rise, to soar. And that's the idea. That's the idea of the person trying to raise themselves up, lift themselves up, almost levitate, rise and do it during the Kedusha, because that's the Malachi. And the dancing is an expression of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a machal, makes a dance for the Tzadikim L'Asid Lavai, because there, indeed, finally, they're able to jump, and while physicality is something that the Tzadik is misgaber overcomes in this world, but the physicality has its own independent strength, and he's overcoming a resistant quantity called physicality. But what happens, Lasid Lavai? What happens, Lasid Lavai, is that Hashem turns the physicality, that it says, okay, I'll submit, I'll accept, and the person's able to somehow spiritualize his physicality, and then he really starts to dance. Then it comes alive. This is the second notion which the Maharal explains about the idea of the dance. The dance, the buoyancy of the dance, is because of the fact that the person is not weighed down by the slow laziness of a physicality without a spirit. That's why lasid lavei, the person does it. The person is merakid, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes such a mochel, such a dance for the tzaddikim. To take 1 minute just to recognize, to put it back there, it's also, by the way, the same notion in the sense of b'kayach and b'payal. Remember, we've discussed earlier that physicality is chomer, is the matter and the spirit, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the tzura, the form. Right? Physicality is like the blob of Play-Doh, and then we have the tzura, then we give it form, we give it something, we give it some shape. So the chomer is b'koach, it has a potential. The tzura is what gives it a pole, what gives it actual. And the more that the tzura transforms the chomer, the more that it actualizes it. So the first concept and the second concept are not, you know, completely disconnected from each other. But I don't think it's necessary or worth it for us to dwell on that so much right now, given the time that we have. But then, right, we go to the next thing, which is that as they're dancing around in the circle, what are they doing? Right, v'chol echod v'echod mare be'etzboy. Everyone is standing there and pointing towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're saying, Zeh Hashem kivinu loy, nagila v'nismacha, bishu asai. So on both counts, of course, it's perfect, because the dance is generated by, we were working towards this all of this time. We're working towards this. Now we can rejoice in the salvation. What's the salvation? I mean, it's become such a term of association, right? But the idea is, it's over. It's finished, right? The Yeshua is the end, right? We're here, we've arrived. Ze Hashem kivinu, right? This is the Hashem that we were looking towards, that we were yearning for. So on the one hand, right, when we speak about the joy is because I'm not way down here thinking yet about, Ayve, well, I have to do this, I have to take care of that, there's still another thing that has to be accomplished, another person that has to be made happy, another realm of accomplishment that has to be achieved. No, we're here. This is it. We can rejoice in the Yeshua of being here now, finally in the presence of Hashem. And, of course, when the person's able to say, Zeh, right? Remember, only Moshe Rabbeinu, of all the prophets, they said, Hashem said, like something like this. Moshe Rabbeinu was misnavi b'zeh adover. This is it. Why? Because while everybody else, their physicality was something of a barrier, and they saw sort of cloudy, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw das baklaya meira, as if he was seeing like through a clear pane of glass. Perfect. Nothing stood in the way. His physicality was transformed. He was the true nenemiz of Ashchina. So now he says, eh, everybody's able to do it now that the physicality is not a barrier anymore. And that's the dance. The dance is because when we're so conscious of our body, so we're way down, right? Even if we manage to dance a couple of rounds around the circle, we can't do it anymore, right? The spirit, the strength of the spirit. This is what the Maharal says. Now, it's 9:45, and that's when we're supposed to stop, even though we started late. There's a whole other piece here to this Maharal that's worthy of discussion. It's the hardest piece, but it's there are some remarkable things there where he speaks about the idea of a circle.
What?
A circle. A machal is where you dance around Hashem, and Hashem is in the middle, right? And right, that's the implication. The Gemara doesn't say that, but it's a machal is a circle, and everybody's pointing at Hashem. Presumably Hashem is sitting at the point in the middle of the circle. And Maharal has some beautiful and significant ideas about that circle. I don't really want to keep you longer. I'm going to do very, very, very shorthand, you know, the idea what the Maharal says. Maharal says that, you know, as you well know, when you have a point in the middle of the circle, so that point, on the one hand, is the point of orientation for everything in the circle. But on the other hand, it's not the point of orientation for any single thing in the circle. So, in other words, whereas if you would have a point in the middle of a square, right? So you could say that, you could measure everything relative to the point in the middle, but it won't really, in a sense, be that way, because, here's the point in the middle of the square, to these, it's very close to here. It's, it's sort of around, we say, it's around the middle of this rectangle, right? Where, to here, yeah, you can measure relative to it, but, you're further from it. By a circle, it's not, the point is in the center of the circle, but relative to anything that's actually on the ring, on the perimeter of the circle, it's absolutely not associated with any one as opposed to the other, and at the same time, everything is oriented towards it. So the Maharal says that's the beautiful idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of the circle and everything going around it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still very, very much to himself. But at the same time, everything is oriented completely and totally around Hashem Yisparach. While in the world, in the physical world as we have it, our orientation always bounces back and forth. And you'll have those who are, or those times in our life where we're closer, more oriented, more close to Hashem, and times where we pull back. The Machal Tzadikim is where everyone, in a sense, is this equidistant, and always there, always surrounding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the center point, and everything being aligned and oriented towards it. And then the Maharal says, a gewaldige chiddush. And the truth is, I read the Maharal, the first time I met Rabbi Hartman, I said, Shalom Aleichem, and I have tremendous gratitude to you. Rabbi Hartman was the editor of these writings of Maharal. What he did is unbelievable. Beautiful, beautiful work, and he really did it. And I read this Maharal, and I didn't chop what he, this particular, I didn't chop what he was saying, I didn't understand what he was saying without his commentary where he brings it. And it's a tremendous chiddush. It's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. And I never heard it before, and I'm still trying to absorb it. We know that there are different ways a person relates to Hashem. Right? We don't do the whole picture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created different people in the world, and each person has their way. And we speak about that there are three great, broader categories. And they are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram, whose main point of relationship to Hashem was through chesed, through kindness. And Yitzchak through gvura, yira, through fear of Hashem, through self-control, respect for the being of Hashem. And Yaakov Avinu through the pure intellectual truth, through the emes of Torah, somehow separated from physicality. And we understand that these are three paradigms of the midah, of the character trait, which each person might be infused with. And everybody might have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but everybody also has a certain dominant strain. And just like Avram was Avram, and Yitzchak was Yitzchak, and Yaakov was Yaakov, and they had this, like you could say, if people ask, oh, how could Yaakov not have done? You have to understand, Yaakov's strength was in X, right? And that was where his main strength was, and this other strength was provided elsewhere, right? The pitcher is a lousy hitter, right? This is what he's working on. I mean, lahavdil alef alfei havdalos. And we even understand it, as the Ramchal describes it in the Derech Hashem, Adam, the original man, was supposed to be in the image of Hashem. But then, what Hashem did was, one man is not going to be able, certainly after the Chet, one man is not going to be able to encapsulate every aspect of connection to Hashem. So therefore, Hashem, we have 600,000 Jews, 70, 12 tribes, we have these levels of diversification where each person has a specific tachlis, a specific task, a specific aspect of godliness to emulate. Why is the Ramchal emphasizes it so critical that people function as individuals, that they understand who they are and what their strengths are, because that's the aspect of godliness which is there to build. But, so many different ways and so many different ways where we encounter this, and we understand each person has their kayak. This is what you need to accomplish. This is your specific thing. Says the Maharal. But in the Olam Haba, what happens? We go around in a circle. What happens when you go around in a circle? If a bunch of us now get up and we decide, You know, Asar v'teva sahim, hey, we're going to dance around the table, right? We're going to dance around the table. So what's going to happen is, where you are, where he is 1 second, I'm going to be the next second. And the next second I'm going to be where he is now, and the next second I'm going to be where he is now. Which means that when you go around the circle, in the mochel, a mochel is not a standing circle. A mochel is a rotating circle. That means that everybody will be able to have the perspective of everything. It's unbelievable chiddush. It's an unbelievable chiddush to me, at least. Listen to how he writes it. Kol mochel hu sibuv. Every mochel, every dance is making a circle. Shelo yomar ki yesh l'chol tzadik malo miyuchedes ve'enachor kailo ka'arveikus. Don't say, you know, every tzadik has a specific quality, and one doesn't have it all. Ulefikachom eshila mochel shohelach besivuv. That's why there's a dance that goes around in a circle. Ilo hezer mochel, if it wasn't a dance, ha'yikol tzadik miyuchad bedveikus miyuchad v'lo yishayelayt veikus mikol. He would have his specific connection. And not a veikus mikol, not an all-around attachment to Hashem. Aval kashi yesh loy mochel shohelach besibuv hu neger Hashem yisborach b'chol ha'kalokim asher yimnechach ha'nekuda ha'metzoyis. He then stands opposite Hashem in every aspect relative to that center point, which is Hashem. U'mizeh yesh lumad ki yesh letzadik lasid chibur al Hashem yisborach loy mitzad mah, rak mitzad ha'koel. Kasher mochel shohelach besibuv hu koel kol ha'igul. Vavin advar me'elu v'zeh mochel shesh letzadikim. From this we learn that la'asid lavai, that tzaddik does not connect simply from one aspect, as he might in this world. But then all the pathways, all the aspects are open to him. Still trying to comprehend how exactly that happens. Don't understand it exactly how that happens. But it's a gewaldig, to me it's a remarkable, remarkable read within the Gemara to understand the depths of what it means, mochel tzaddikim la'asid lavai. There's more here. You know, as usual, we just, you know, draw out some of the aspects of what the Maharal is teaching. But I would just want to read with you the last paragraph of it. So you can, you know, sometimes the Maharal gets so excited, like we do too, I think, and he ends, you know, with a word. And he says, V'yisparei l'chol teirish divrei chachamim m'mochel ha-kodesh. Now you've heard a little bit about what the chachamim have said about this holy dance. Okay, rashnu ponim habe, we've given you a lot of different explanations. V'kulam ponim ka'alocha. And they all have an accuracy. None of them is false. Choose the way which seems to make most sense to you. But the last way is the way which is the clearest and truest way. And that's the bond of life. And that's what you should choose. It's hard to write these things. They're so overwhelming, awesome. We write a little. Most the wise man has to think about. Right? It's like we said before. You know, when you express it, you can't think. Hashem should forgive us for our shortcomings. The yasa isanu. He should make us zanav lezanav hatzadikim imachol hakadosh hazeh. He says he should make us that we should merit to be the tippy tip tip of the tail of the tzaddikim who are able to enjoy this dance in the world to come. That would be enough. If the Maharal is saying the tippy tip of the tail, I mean, who knows what we are? Some amoeba clutching, you know. So that's the story, part of the story. Okay.
Baruch Hashem. What's
that? What's the section? Tuf Kuf Aleph, Tuf Kuf Beis. The last piece, you mean about the going around in a circle and everybody seeing everything? Starts on the very bottom of Tuf Kuf Aleph and continues on to Tuf Kuf Beis. The end of the section. 5 months. 6 months. Okay.